We're going to read some verses from 2 Kings chapter 8, chapter 6, excuse me, verse 8 and following as we begin this lesson tonight. We're going to focus on the subject again this evening of fear. We talked about fearfulness last week, and fear and faith is our theme for tonight. I think fear is very natural for us. And one reason is because faith, which is the exact opposite of fear, faith is also unnatural for us. It doesn't come to us naturally, in other words. We have to learn faith and its confidence in what we cannot see. When we're so geared to responding to what we can see, we're so geared to responding to the stimulus of that which is apparent and that which appears around us. And so faith is something that we have to learn, and faith is something we have to practice, and we have to trust the Lord to grow in our life because fear comes to us quite naturally. We're so geared to responding to what we can see or even just merely imagine. And a good question is, a realistic question is, if you know the Lord, what is there to be afraid of? If you know the Lord, why should you fear? How can I fear when Jesus Christ is near, when the Lord is near? And if I know Him, why should I be afraid? But we do anyway. We're afraid. We fear sometimes anyway. And one of the excuses we use is, well, things may not work out as I want them to. Things won't work out the way I want them to, and so I'm afraid of the outcome. Well, is that a bad thing, that things won't work out the way I want them to? Is that a bad thing? And the reality is, we don't know the end from the beginning. And so what we want, how we want things to work out may not be the best way for them to work out regardless. And I mentioned on Sunday, I'd heard someone say, you know, and he was sort of parroting what he's heard. Oh, you know, things didn't happen the way I wanted them to. Why did things have to come this way? Why did things have to happen to me like this? Well, and the answer is God must know that you needed that for it to happen the way it did. God must know that that was something you needed. And so that's why He allowed it to come, in the life of a saved person. What makes you so sure your way is best? And we just imagine what we want things to be based on how things make us feel. Well, I think that if it turned out this way, I'd feel better about it. I would feel happier. We want to feel happy. We want to feel content. We want to feel satisfied. And so we imagine that if things turn out this way, that will make me feel happier. And so that's the way I want it to be. And if it doesn't turn out that way, I don't like it. And we're afraid it's not going to turn out that way. We're afraid of the negative things that we imagine could possibly happen in our life, instead of just committing it to the Lord and saying, God knows what's best, and He'll give me the grace to get through whatever situation He allows me to experience. That's really the best course. Now look with me to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 and following. And here's an interesting account of the prophet Elisha and some of the things that happened, one of the things that happened during his earthly ministry. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. I'm sorry, we want 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm glad we discovered that before we started reading. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the men of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for hither thither the Syrians are come down, the man of God. Verse 10 says, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, he always seems to know what I'm planning to do. There must be a spy among us somehow. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And how does he know? Well, the Lord is communicating that to him. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God was there, and this servant just didn't understand it. He didn't realize it. I think it's interesting that you have to go back a little ways, because he's constantly called the man of God in the text. He's mentioned by name in verse 1, again in verse 12, and then in verse 17, Elisha the prophet, verse 12 says, and verse 17 says, Elisha prayed. Otherwise, he's called the man of God, and he's called the man of God in those succeeding verses. And why? Because he was God's man for that time. He was the prophet of God who was doing the Lord's work at that point. What can we learn from these scriptures and others about fear? And I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 34, which is actually our text verse, 34:7. Our text verse for this message, as we consider the subject of faith and fear tonight, 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." The angel of the Lord. And if you do a study on the angel of the Lord, in most cases in the Old Testament, that's the Lord himself. The angel of the Lord, the text verse says, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And what power does just a common angel have to deliver the saints? Well, it's more likely this is the Lord himself. And so there's no reason to fear except to fear the Lord. And the first principle that I'd like for us to consider is, if you're living by faith and trusting him, you should not fear. You should not be afraid of the circumstances of your life. You shouldn't be afraid of what could happen. Look at Isaiah chapter 12 with me, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. Fear is a very real force, and Satan uses it to good advantage many times in the lives of the saints, to defeat them, to negate them, to cause them to be unsuccessful in their life for Christ, because they're always fretting. Look at verse 1, 2, and 3. "In that day shalt thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Don't be afraid. He says, God is my salvation. I'll trust and not be afraid. And so if you're living by faith and trusting him, you should not fear. The Bible says, trust and don't fear. Why do we fear? Because we don't know what will happen. We assume it will be bad. And the Bible says to us over and over again, even in the face of negatives, don't fear. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a great passage of Scripture where the Bible says over and over again, "Fret not." Verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And if you skip down to verse 3, you'll see, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And then verse 7, Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And we could go in and read some more of those verses where the Bible just speaks of God's promise to bless his people. Verse 12 says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. But don't fret, don't worry, because God's in control. Now back up a little bit more to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you're living by faith and trusting him, you should not fear. And this is a familiar principle that we all know, and we all know that we shouldn't, but we do sometimes. We're afraid. We start thinking a little too deeply, and sometimes we're overthinking things. And so then we just start to fret, and we start to worry, we start to be fearful. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Was this a bad thing? Was it bad that they spent those 40 years in the wilderness? Was that a bad thing? And I think the obvious answer is no, it wasn't bad, because it brought the younger folks around so that when they became the adults in the congregation, it brought them around so they were ready to cross the Jordan River and take the promised land when it came time. That whole generation perished in the wilderness. And God knew he had to deal with them because they would not believe God. They were those who'd come out of Egypt. They'd been the last, you know, their whole lifetime, they'd been worshiping the false gods of the Egyptians. They just didn't. I want to say they couldn't, but I don't think it's a matter of they couldn't. They just wouldn't change their heart and change their mind about believing on the Lord. And so God said, okay, 40 years... A year for every day, 40 days that they spied out the land. This is the 10th time, and God said this to them in the book of Numbers when he pronounced this judgment upon them. He said, 10 times now you've murmured against me. What's the deal? You know, God provided the manna. God delivered them with a high hand out of Egyptian slavery. God proved himself over and over and over again. He gave them water out of the rock. He brought them forth and protected them in battle. And these were not trained, hardened soldiers. They were slaves. They were used. What were they accustomed to doing? You know, shoveling sand and mud, making bricks, cutting straw. That's what they were used to doing. But God gave them victory in battle after battle after battle against the heathen who came out against them. And there was no reason for these people not to believe and trust God, and yet they wouldn't. They wouldn't. They just constantly feared. And if you are living in fear, it's because you're not trusting the Lord. And the second principle is this, and this may be shocking to some people, but do you know that fear is a choice? Fear is a choice. I'm choosing to be afraid instead of choosing to trust the Lord. And I understand, you know, that some people are more predisposed toward this sin than they are to other sins. But fear is a sin just like lust is a sin. It's something we choose to do. It's not one of those things like I heard a preacher say one time, you know, when God sent the fiery serpents among the Israelites in the wilderness, they were discouraged. They were much discouraged in the way. Oh, it's okay. And we have a tendency to pat somebody and say, and stroke them and say, it's okay. You don't have to be discouraged. And this preacher's contention was that their discouragement was because of their unbelief And they became discouraged because they would not trust God and believe God that he was going to bring them through. And they were murmuring along with their discouragement. And fear is kind of the same way. It's a choice. I've done quite a bit of studying and cross-referencing in the Bible the last couple of weeks on the subject of fear. And be not afraid and fear thou not occurs hundreds of times in the Bible. But God never says, it's okay, bring your fears to me and I'll take care of them. He just says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be afraid. And our fear becomes a choice. We choose to believe the worst instead of believe that God is going to deliver us. We choose to have fear instead of trusting the Lord. God never says, it's okay, I'll help you. No, God's word always does say, don't fear. You don't have to be afraid. You make this decision. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we'll look at a number of passages in the Old Testament where this thing, and then in the New Testament where God says, be not afraid. He doesn't ever say, you know, just submit it to me. It's okay. I'll help you. No, he says, don't do this. Don't do that. It's a command. Don't fear. Look to me and trust me and believe me instead. In Deuteronomy 1:17, the Bible says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. Here God says, you just don't be afraid. Look at verse 29 of this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. Then said I unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Look at chapter 17. Chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18. 7:18. Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Chapter 18, verse 22, Deuteronomy 18. And there are a number of verses like this scattered throughout every book of the Bible, basically. Deuteronomy 18, 22 says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. If a person is not telling you the truth, don't be afraid of him. In 31:6, here the Bible says again, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And remember, God told Joshua, don't be afraid, fear not, when he was commanded of God to lead the people across the Jordan River and begin the conquest of Canaan. God said, fear not. And we find that again and again in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Joshua chapter 11, verse 6. It occurs again in Joshua 11, 6. The Bible says this, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Over and over again, over 40 other times in the Bible, God says, don't be afraid, fear not. Look in your New Testament to Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus was teaching. In Matthew 14, 27, he said this, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And in 17:7, Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And in Matthew 28:10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Over and over again we see this in the Bible. 1 Peter 3:14 is another example. And when God says, don't be afraid, all we can conclude is we're either going to obey him or disobey him. Fear is a choice. And you may have a strong predisposition in that area, but that's not an excuse. You have to make decisions and choices just like everybody else does. And instead of being afraid, we say, no, 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 no. This may be a battle you fight every day of your life. You know what? I fight some spiritual battles like that every day of my life. This may be a spiritual battle you have to fight every day of your life. I'm not going to be afraid about our finances. I'm not going to be afraid about our future. I'm not going to be afraid about our children and their future. I'm not going to be afraid about this. I'm just going to commit that to the Lord and trust the Lord. I will trust him and not be afraid. It's a choice. And fear, likewise, is a choice. A choice. The third principle is we must forsake this sin and look to the Lord. And there are lots of things we do and don't do by choice. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 to 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And we all know that verse. And lean not unto thine own understanding. What's that about? It's about not being afraid. Don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, you decide to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Just trust in the Lord. Don't try to figure things out. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Here are a couple of verses on this same subject. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Just trust him. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your confidence and trust in him. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 and following. The same application here in the New Testament as we see in the Old Testament over and over again. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Don't think that you're so smart that you can figure things out. You can't figure this thing out. Just commit yourself to the Lord and trust in him. And you may be a very highly intelligent individual. You may have a higher IQ than anybody else that's sitting here tonight. That doesn't mean a thing. You still can't figure it out. You still can't decide that you possess the answers. Lean not to thine own understanding. Look at chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Here the Bible says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that all we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. And the fact of the matter is, we should not lean on our own understanding. We have to just forsake our sin, just like everybody else has to. And if your sin is a sin of fearfulness, God says in his word, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be afraid. Trust the Lord and look to him for the answers that you need instead. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. That's quite a revelation when you imagine that God doesn't stroke people who are discouraged or fearful. God says, just simply don't do that. Don't do that. That's not a faith-based response. That's a flesh-based response. And so don't go there. Faith and fear, and we're going to either do one or the other. We said last week, it's kind of like the Bible. Somebody said that the Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. And you can't have faith and fear reigning in the same life at the same time, it's not going to happen. Fear is going to defeat our faith, or faith is going to defeat our fear, one thing or the other. And so trust the Lord and own up to the sin and ask God to forgive the sin of fearfulness and deal with it and ask and determine you're going to trust the Lord as you should and spend time in His Word. You know, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, I just need stronger faith. You're not the only one. Everybody does. God wants us to be continually increasing and growing in our faith. So spend more time in your Bible, reading and meditating on, studying your Bible. And the Bible says the Word of God will produce. The more you focus on the character of God, and the more you see His mighty works, and the more you read of His mighty declarations, you will trust Him more. And that's the answer to fear is faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray You